This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we stopped on the hadith of showing compassion, of being merciful towards specifically our family members and our children. And that's the theme of mercy, being compassionate, of kindness, of respect, spills into today's hadith, or to today's discussion, about respect to whether the old or the young. His teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraging us how to behave and to conduct ourselves. لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَلَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا. He is not from amongst us he who does not show respect, be merciful and show kindness and goodness to the young individuals. وَلَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا. And doesn't show reverence, overdue respect towards those who are older than them. وفي بعض الروايات, other narration that you find, وَلَمْ يَعْرِفْ شَرْفَ كَبِيرِنَا. Whoever doesn't know the noble rank of our elders or people who are older than us. Another word that we find, وَيَعْرِفْ حَقَّ كَبِيرِنَا. And a person needs to know the rights and regulations that belong to people who are older than us. And thus we find that many ahadith, they have a context. Just like on many occasions inside the Quran, you find what is known as asbabun nuzul, reason why certain verses were sent down. Like Imam al-Wahidi's famous collection, asbabun nuzul, speaks about various verses, their possible reason or revelation. And likewise, you find there are reasons of wurud al-hadith, of narrating of certain hadith, or context of certain hadith. For masalan, we find, for example, when the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, لَيْسَ مِنَّا فَمَنْ غَشَّنَا فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا أَوْ كَمَا قَالْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He's not from amongst us who cheats us. There's a context of that hadith. He's walking in the marketplace and he sees that the person is being deceptive inside their trade. So he thrusts his hand inside the wheat and he finds it all wet because this person had covered it up. So now he rebuked him and warned him and said to him, Laysa minna, he's not from us, whoever cheats us. So there's a prophetic tradition in the context, and likewise in this hadith as well that we find. فَجَعَ شَيْخٌ يُرِيدَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. There came an old man, elderly individual, who came to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. فَأَبْدَى الْقَوْمُ عَنْهُ. So people began to delay, and يُوَسِّعُ لَهُ. People were hesitant, slow to move out the way for this elderly individual. Took their time, gave him no due respect. So the Prophet alaihi wasallam, he, in his words, we can use such a language, he rebuked them. He said to them, فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ لَمْ يَرْحَمْ صَغِيرَنَا وَلَمْ يُوَقِّرْ كَبِيرَنَا. He's not from amongst us who doesn't show respect towards the young individuals and doesn't give the due right to the elderly individuals, those who may be older than you individuals. And that's here we need to stop and we need to reflect. Because certain aspects of culture that some people perceive, they're not un-Islamic. Because some people think that certain practices that maybe a people do towards an elderly individual, these are un-Islamic practices. This is maybe some concept of bid'ah, some innovation. You know, because to talk openly and frankly, many of us, we see sunnah and bid'ah in a Western framework, in a Western hemisphere, in a Western understanding. We don't see that many of our thaqafat, many of our heritages or practices that we have are actually based upon Islamic practices. To kiss an elderly individual on the forehead isn't a form of ibadah. Is it a form of that you lead to you to worship an elderly individual, a person who's a father-like figure, to show that reverence and respect? Doesn't mean that. But because in the world that we live in, things are codified inside this manner. The person cannot see beyond those parameters, can't seem to understand. That is what fiqh is. Understanding the rights and regulations of Islam is to see how people derive a ruling, how people carry out certain actions. What's the basis of them doing a certain action inside their life? You know, if we study al-madahib al-fiqhiyah, we study the four broad schools of law, canons of law that we have. In the Malikiyah, you find in the fiqh of Imam Malik, rahmatullah alayh, Imam Darul Hijrah, the Imam who never left Medina. Urful Nas, or Urf Ahlul Medina, Hujja indahum. Whatever the people of Medina practice, for them, is a form of law. So whatever the people of Medina were carrying out and doing that time, they said based on the basis that the people of Medina are the most closest to the Prophet ﷺ. So they've done a certain action, that means it must be by default a sunnah. It must have some derivative from the sunnah. Doesn't mean that's totally accurate, but it's helping us to understand that not every ruf of people, not every cultural practice of a people is something which is bid'ah, which is an innovation, something to be rejected, something to be frowned upon. And thus we find that we need to see the basic intent of people. You find Abdullah ibn Umar, he mentions, or before that we find that, as we mentioned, kissing a person's forehead or making space for an individual, it's all forms of reverence. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he mentioned, he narrates inside his hadith in Sahih Muslim. He says the best kind of piety that a man should keep in touch and respect his father's friend even after his father's friend has passed away. The best type of kindness and respect is to show reverence and respect to your father's friends whilst they're living and whilst he may have passed away. This, once again, you look at the context of Abdullah ibn Umar. In Sahih Muslim, you find a chapter speaking about keeping ties and respecting individuals that we find. You find that Abdullah ibn Umar one day was riding with his donkey and he saw a man at a distance. He rushed towards him. He gave him his riding beast and he took off his turban and he gave it to him. His friends around him said that, you know, the Bedouin Arabs, they can do just with small elements of kindness. You know, just give him a day, give him some water, that would suffice him. Because he's a Bedouin in the desert, traveling in the desert. Why did you give him so much? Why did you give him your riding beast? Or why did you take off your head garment, your turban, and deliver it to this individual? He said that this individual, فَوَالِدُهُ, his father, was my father's friend. So based upon this, I want to show respect to him. Because his father is my father's friend, so my father used to show respect towards his father, and now by default I have to show respect towards this individual because he's my father's friend's son. That is how Abdullah ibn Umar would practice this affair. And as we find that the rights of fathers sometimes are diminished. We all know, we're all familiar with rights of the mother, no doubt. And we should refresh our life. That we know that three rights that belong to the mother, who should I show good companionship to? قَالَ أُمُّكَ قَالَ ثُمَّ مَنْ قَالَ أُمُّكَ ثُمَّ مَنْ قَالَ أُمُّكَ ثُمَّ مَنْ قَالَ أَبُوكَ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ. Three times ask the question, who should I show, who has the most right to have my companionship, my love and my affection and my full attention? قَالَ أُمُّكَ, your mother. Then who? Maybe it must be somebody else. Your mother again. Then who? No, then your mother again. Then the Prophet Aisha mentioned, ثُمَّ أَبُوكَ, then your father. In a hadith, in a chapter of the chapter of Sahih Muslim that he mentioned, long hadith, speaking about Juraij. There's only three young individuals that spoke at a young age. Juraij كان عابدا, used to be a worshipper inside his temple. Hadith inside Sahih Muslim would be so focused, engrossed inside ibadah. فَيَوْمٍ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ فَنَادَهُ أُمُّهُ. His mother called him. فَقَالَ فِي نَفْسِهِ أَنَا فِي الْعِبَادَةِ. I'm inside worship. Or shall I respond to my mother? Carry on in my ibadah, or shall I respond to my mother? So he did not respond. Another occasion, again, his mother called him again. Again, he questioned himself, I'm in a state of ibadah, worship. Shall I respond? Or shall I carry on in my ibadah? He thought, I'll carry on in my ibadah. For a third time, his mother called him again. And again, he made the decision not to respond to her. So his mother said that, may you be disgraced. And may you face the homes or the regret of the prostitutes. Hadith is Sahih Muslim. Juraij continued with his life. But his mother's supplication became a fitnah for him. There was a prostitute woman who heard about his ibadah. And she came to him and she tried to tempt him. But he refused. She remained outside until she met a shepherd. She fornicated with him and she became pregnant. When she delivered the child, people began to ask, whose child is this? فَقَالَتْ, she said, this is the son of Juraij. They went to his temple and they dismantled and destroyed it. And they began to beat and rebuke him. He said, call the child. Call the child. And he said, let me pray again. And he prayed. Then when the child came, he said to the child, who is the father? The child spoke and said that the father is such and such shepherd. They then wept and became ashamed of the action. They said, let us build your temple once again with gold. He said, build it once again with mud so I can remain inside my worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama begin to dissect and explain this hadith. If a person is making nawafil, supererogatory prayers, and your parents call you, they ask of you, then it is totally allowed to break your prayer, to leave your prayer, to respond to them. Because to respond to parents is an obligation. Unless it's the obligatory prayer. But for some reason, the elderly, they call and they ask for you, you have to respond. Many young individuals want to bypass the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There were many who had that same zeal and that same passion. A young boy wanted to go out fight jihad fi sabilillah. He came to the Prophet alayhi salam and said, give me permission to go. He said, have you asked your parents? Did they give you permission? He said, no. He said, do you have elderly parents? فَفِيهِمَا تُجَاهِدْ. Go and serve them. Go and look after them. That's your jihad. Go and take care of them. They're elderly individuals. They need your care, your attention. You have no right to go. No right to bypass the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, we find in other narrations speaking about the right of the father. أَنْتَ وَمَالُكَ. You and your wealth belong to your father. Everything about you, it belongs to your father. He has every right. With fairness and justice, take what he wants. Person doesn't have that right to question them. For us, sometimes we feel it's a cultural practice once again that parents, they demand certain things, they ask for certain things. They have every due right. For the years of them nurturing and bringing you up and spending upon you, then if they ask for something, does that now mean that this is something forbidden for them? Because, to put it bluntly, because we live in a Western world. We live in a Western environment. We live in a Western perception. And thus we find that the concept of elderly individuals, there are some approximately over 11,000 care homes with approximately 410,000 elderly individuals placed there. And many of them have been paid to place there. Imagine coming up to 500,000 elderly individuals. This is a society. That's what you find that Rulama mentioned. This could be a society that's developed everything. They've developed everything except for moral values. Everything they've developed, but they're lacking in moral values, moral fiber. That they pay to keep their parents inside nursing homes, inside care homes, pay. And read about the statistics and the facts or the expenses. Some of them up to £1,000. ليس شهريا أسبوعيا £1,000 a week. Because now the children are rich, affluent, well-educated individuals. So for them to keep them there, pay the money to keep them there, that's more suitable. But this shouldn't be our mentality. You know, for some of us, it seems far away. When earthquakes happen inside Pakistan, one individual, he did a days and a night journey. He carried his mother on his back to get to the doctor. The doctor saw her, he put her back on his back and he walked a day and a night back again. We say this is culture. This isn't culture. This is Islam. Abdullah bin Umar, once again, a man comes to him and boasts to him. Says, look at me, I'm carrying my mother performing tawaf. Look at me, I'm carrying my mother. Do you think I've done the right of my mother? He said, no. He said, this tawaf that you've done is equivalent to just about one contraction that she had. One contraction. Let's not talk about the months of weaning and nourishing and taking care of carrying you. One contraction, not even equivalent to one contraction. You want to boast that have I fulfilled the right of my mother by carrying them in this manner, performing tawaf around the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, Ibn Umar, he narrates another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet he mentioned, I saw myself in a dream using a miswak, and two people began to dispute in front of me, a young individual and an elderly individual. Hadith is Sahih Muslim. So I gave the siwak, I gave it to the elderly individual. I gave it to the young individual, and it was said to me, give it to the elderly individual. So I took it back and gave it to the elderly individual. Showing what? Respect for the elderly individual. And we know that ru'yatul anbiya wahyul, dreams of prophets are a form of revelation. It's been shown inside a dream that show respect towards the elderly individuals. Thus you find the younger should greet the older, the one passing those who are sitting, and the smaller group should greet the larger group. Hadith inside Bukhari. Once again, what is our perception of a hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu salam? Give salam to whom you know, whom you prefer, whom you like. That's not what Islam says. Islam is generic. Afshu salam bainakum. Spread the salam amongst you. It doesn't say that you choose and you select. Rather, you find amongst the minor signs of the Day of Judgment. Min ashirati sa'a. Minor signs of the Day of Judgment that we find is to give salam upon whomever you know. Whomever you like. Whoever you want to give salam to, you give salam to that individual. Whoever you don't want, you don't give salam to them. For whatever pretext, reason it may be, that this person doesn't deserve the salam, or salam shouldn't be given to this individual. And thus we find that the elderly individuals, as ulama have mentioned, is their years of service of Islam, or Allah bestowing and blessing them with Islam before a younger individual. Years of practice, years of goodness that we find, good deeds and experience. And likewise, we give the due right to the young individuals. The young individuals, in general, they are sinless individuals, less sins compared to elderly individuals. Purer hearts, purer minds. So a person finds the balance of the elderly individuals and the young individuals. The elderly individuals to be respected for their age, respected for their wisdom, for their tajriba, experience of life. The young individuals to be respected for their zeal and their passion. You put this together, you find the ideal Muslim community of working together, taking the wisdom of the wise individuals, zeal and the passionate young individuals, and placing it together that we find. And thus we find, we go back to Umar ibn Khattab, the son of Abdullah ibn Umar, that we find. He was one to show reverence, respect, even to the young individuals. If we look at Tafsir Ibn Abbas, printed in two volumes that we find, Ibn Abbas is known as Turjuman al-Quran, the one who translated the Quran. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned about him, Allahumma faqih fi al-deen wa'allimhu ta'wil, ta'wil bi'ma'na tafsir. Give him fiqh fi deen. And give him the ability to make tafsir of the Quran. Ibn Abbas was a young boy. A young boy he was. Read the final complete surah sent down upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Surah Al-Fatih. Or Nasr, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. Read the tafsir of this surah. You find that the Umar ibn Khattab says to the people around him, explain this surah. What is the tafsir? What is the meaning of this surah? So some of them said, this is the death of the Prophet alayhi wa sallam. This means this is the conquering of Islam. This means the beauty of Islam. This means the dominance of Islam. The strength of Islam. The message has been completed. He said, all of that is good. He said, Ibn Abbas, ماذا تقول في هذا التفسير? Ibn Abbas, what do you say about this surah? He said, this surah is speaking about the death, the demise of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. None of the other companions understood that. Ibn Abbas understood that this surah is speaking about, this is the end journey. The journey of the Prophet alayhi wasallam has become complete. وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. Your journey is complete. That's why istighfar is made after completion of good deeds. بعد الصلاة نستغفر الله ثلاث مرات. After the prayer, we've completed the prayer. Make istighfar, it's completed. Ulama mentioned maybe there could be some deficiency. There is deficiencies. The person makes istighfar. But in general, after good deeds, person remembers Allah, praises Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The journey has been completed of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said, this is the meaning of the tafsir, this ayat. But before this, you know, some of them, they said, we have young children like Ibn Abbas. We have young children like Ibn Abbas. Why does he keep Ibn Abbas around him? Because he had a great understanding that shouldn't be rejected. إِنَّهُمْ فِتْيَةٌ آمَنُوا بِرَبِّهِمْ وَزِدْنَهُمْ هُدَى. Young people have iman, they have faith. Surah Al-Kahf that we find. Ayah. Min ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These young men that we find, these are people being given karamat. Young boys who are given miracles. Because why? They believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَرَبَطْنَا عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah strengthened their iman, strengthened their conviction. So a person gives that due respect towards these individuals. And likewise, the opposite can be plausible. That somebody who is older needs to give respect to somebody who's younger. Especially that person deserves that respect, as we mentioned about Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, sahib al-ilm, person of knowledge, person of understanding, person of position. Person comes to that position, even if they happen to be younger than you, you have to give them that due respect. That cannot be taken away from that individual. Two examples from the Quran that we find that highlight this point. Awalan, we find Qissatu Yusuf alayhi salam. The story of Yusuf that we find, that the rest of the 10 brothers were all older than Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam comes to that position of becoming a person inside authority. قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. He said, by Allah, Allah has given you such a great blessing over us. This is the end of Surah Yusuf that we find. After whatever they wanted you to do, carry out upon Yusuf. He said, indeed has conferred a great blessing upon you. Blessing upon you, chosen you above us. When kunna la khati'in. Even though before this we were wrong individuals. So they had to give that due respect to Yusuf. Had to be given to him. But look at Yusuf alayhi salam. Doesn't boast. Doesn't become arrogant. Doesn't say to them, look, you should have known that in the beginning. You should have shown that respect in the beginning towards me. You should have recognized that I'm the messenger of Allah, the Prophet Allah. قَالَ لَا تَفْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. لَا تَفْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. No blame upon you this day. لَا حَرَجْ. No hardship. No ill feelings. نفس الآية. قَالَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامُ لَمَّا دَخَلَ الْمَكَّةَ فَتْحُ الْمَكَّةَ. Same thing the Prophet when he entered into Makkah. He's a younger compared to all the leaders of Quraysh. He doesn't become argumentative towards the Quraysh that look at me, I'm superior than you. He just says that no blame upon you whatever you've done to me. And another extraction we can take from this. A person who works for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, مَا يَحْتَمْ بِأَقْوَالِ النَّاسِ. Isn't so worried about what people like or dislike. what people would say, what people don't say. Whether people blame you or they don't blame you or they praise you. Person whose eye, his heart is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't worry about these things. هذا هو إخلاص لله سبحانه وتعالى. That's what إخلاص is. You don't despair. You don't become worried. Your journey becomes focused towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the respect that you give to people is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will give that due respect. وَتُوَقِّرُوهُ وَتُعَزِّرُوهُ. Speaking about the Prophet ﷺ, to give him that due deliverance, that due respect. Do you think the Prophet ﷺ, he sought that respect? He wanted that respect, that dignity. It was granted to him. Granted for him for his ibadah, his worship, his ikhlas, his sincerity, his commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah gave him that respect. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرًا. We raise high your remembrance. And everybody makes mention of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, makes mention, shows reverence towards him. Thus you find that anyone who doesn't show respect towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam is a dangerous platform of kufr. That's why you can understand why some people may show that due reverence towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We're not here to discuss whether they're right or wrong, but just to understand the mentality that cultural aspect has an assas foundation. They have that due reverence, respect towards the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Even that respect should be taken towards a life of amal, a life of obedience of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The second example inside the Quran that we find, whereby you find that someone who is older is giving reverence to a younger individual. Once again, remaining in the journey of the prophets that we find is Musa alayhi salam and his brother Harun. And Harun alayhi salam is older than Musa, was born in the year whereby Fir'aun did not slay or kill the male children. So Harun is older than Musa alayhi salam. Once again, but look at the respect that Harun delivers towards Musa alayhi salam. قال يا هارون ما منعك إذ رأيتم ضلوا ألا تتبعني أفعصيت أمري. يا هارون, what is the matter? What has happened? Why have you gone against my command? You've seen that people have gone astray from the path. أَفَعَصَيْتَ أَمْرِي. Did you forget my commandments to keep Bani Israel in check? To look after them? These are ayat inside Surah Taha, the 20th chapter of Taha. You know, the disciples, Surah Taha is a remarkable surah. Listen to Surah Taha. Soothing of the heart. You find miracles after miracles inside this surah. Hatta logatan, that we find linguistically, every single ayah ends with alif maqsura. That occurs inside Surah Taha. Beautiful rhythm that you find. Hatta ba'd ahad al-ulama kataba risala doktura ala Surah Taha. Just on Surah Taha, wrote a whole dissertation based upon the miraculous nature and the concept and linguistics of Surah Taha. فأيحى الهارون قال يا ابن أم لا تأخذ باللحيتي ولا برأسي. Harun responds, doesn't say to him, oh, you're younger than me, how dare you speak to me in that manner. Said, oh, the son of my mother, لا تأخذ باللحيتي ولا برأسي. Don't take me by my beard, don't take me by my hair. Because Musa was known to be shadeed, strong personality. Grabbed Harun. What is this that you're letting people do behind my back? And aside from ulama, based upon this ayah and numerous other ayat inside the Quran, لا تأخذ باللحيتي ولا برأسي. You find that the beard is sunnah al anbiya wa hiya fariba. To grow the beard is the way of the prophets, the messengers, and it's obligatory. ولا نقاش في ذلك عند الفقهاء. There's no debate. Whichever fiqh that you follow, there's no debate. There's just mild elements about what is underneath the Adam's apple, or maybe some elements of a person's chin. Some discussion that takes place عند الفقهاء. الراسخون في العلم. أما الفقهاء المتجددون, modern علماء that we find. حليق. Clean-shaven individuals. Maybe some of them, we give them an excuse that maybe there may be some hardships, some difficulties that they may have. But perhaps these individuals, somebody may Allah guide them, are there just to dismantle the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahibul ilm, sahibul fadl, yudafi anil rasul alayhi salatu wasallam, defends the honor, defends his sunnah, holds fast to the sunnah, addu alayha bin nawajid. Because people need an excuse, people will crumble, the awam will crumble. That's why in today's these testing times that we find, we need ulama to speak up. We don't need this passive approach that everything is humbleness, everything, nothing should be said about what takes place around us. We need role models, we need people who have that courage, who have that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to say to the people, this is wrong, this is unacceptable, this is something that we need to do. Whether people do it or don't do it, that may not be the end result, but people speak out. You know, people say, oh, these are trivial affairs. You know, linguistically, something which is trivial means it's something easy. Something is something easy. So why can't you adopt it inside your life? And you talk about greater, bigger affairs. This is the solution of the Muslim Ummah. Solution of the Muslim Ummah lies amongst all of us working towards the Sunnah. You know, if you go back to the companions we mentioned about how they conducted themselves, if they're losing in a battle, they would question one another and say, which sunnah are we missing in our lives? Which sunnah have we become negligent inside our lives? They didn't say, leave the sunnah alone. Let's work on a greater task. Leave that, put that aside. Or we find that other people around us, that for the sunnah, for them, the sunnah is not applicable. On the average person, home in, day in and day out, on the average person, but everybody else around us, leave them to enjoy their life. Everybody should be encouraged to live a life of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Going back to the ayat, Harun alayhi salam, إِنِّي خَشِيتُ أَن تَقُولَ فَرَّقْتَ بَيْنَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَلَمْ تَرْقُبْ قَوْلِي. I fear, look at Harun's excuse. He said, I fear that maybe you're going to come and say, I divided Bani Israel. So I didn't want to say anything at that moment in time. I tried to unite them. وَلَمْ تَرْقُبْ قَوْلِي. Tarqub, bima'na, you did not respect. You didn't respect my, you're going to say to me, Musa is going to say to Harun, you did not respect my words. I gave you my words, fulfill my words. That's all that I was trying to do inside my life. You know, the context of this ayah is marvelous. Because you find that Musa alayhi salam, look at the reverence and the love he has towards Harun. He doesn't say that I become a prophet, I become a messenger. Let me be my own. When he makes that famous supplication, Rabbi shrahli sadri yassir li amri wahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli waj'al li wazira min ahli Harun akhi. The dua continues. When he asks Allah to expand his chest, to take away the speech impediment from him, that people may accept him, he prays, oh Allah, give me a wazir, a helper from my own family. Who should that individual be? My brother Harun. That together we may strengthen ourselves, march forth in delivering the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ashriku fi amri. He may participate inside this affair. Kay nusabbihaka kathira. That we may praise you abundantly. Wa nadhkuraka kathira. إِنَّكَ كُنْتَ بِنَا بَصِيرًا. We may remember you abundantly. Brothers. Brothers in Islam. Brothers in blood bond. Strengthen our journey together. That's what respect and reverence is. That we want people to be together. To remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ قَدْ أُوْتِيْتَ سُؤْلَكَ يَا مُوسَى. Allah responded by saying, whatever you ask for Musa, I've given it all to you. Everything you ask on this list that you ask me for, yeah, Musa, it's all given to you. Because Musa alayhi salam was loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa kallama Allah Musa taklima. Allah spoke to Musa alayhi salam. One of the rare prophets, Allah spoke directly. Even the same ayat inside Surah Taha that we find, qala innani anna Allah la ilaha illa ana fa'budni wa aqimi salata li dhikri. Musa alayhi salam came to Mount Tur. Came to Jabal Tur, came to the mountain. When he saw the flame, he came there, traveled there. Allah spoke directly to Musa. فَخْلَعْ عَلَيْكَ. Take off your shoes. Once again, culture. take off your shoes. Some brothers think that, oh, to take off your shoes inside the masjid, this is something extra. You know, this is extremity. وَمَنْ لَمْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ Whoever doesn't show reverence. وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ Whoever shows respect to the symbols of Allah, that is from taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why culturally, you know, some brothers, they want, as you going back to the path of sunnah and bid'ah, it's okay to place the Qur'an on the floor. Yes, maybe technically it may be okay to place the Qur'an on the floor. But why do you want to upset people? In the qawlu rajih, فَمَثَلْ فَتْوَى الشَّيْخِ مُحَمَّدْ بِنْ صَالِحَ الْعُثَيْمِينَ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ Do not place the Qur'an on the floor. Do not place the Qur'an on the floor. Respect the Qur'an. Just because one scholar may have mentioned or just discussed it, it's allowed. That doesn't mean that becomes to go and do that inside society. Understand the psyche of people, as we began with. The Kaaba that we see in today's image, that's not the real size of the Kaaba. And that's not the real image. The Kaaba is more of a circumbular sphere that we find on one side, that we find a circular shape. Why? For what reason is it left as a cuboid shape? Because the Prophet ﷺ said that our people are new people to enter into Islam. They will not tolerate this. I've changed so many things. They're not going to tolerate that the Kaaba has brought back to its original shape. Leave it the way it is. Because people are new into Islam. Accept it from them. So let it run, let it go by. And here as another point. Not to look down upon any individual. There are many brothers that their hearts are pure. And they're far better than many of us. But sometimes we need to advise one another. الَّذِي أَسْلَمَ أَمْسُ وَقَبْلَ السَّنَةُ السَّنَةَيْنِ Somebody became Muslim a year or 2 years ago. What right do they have? They have every right to maybe say something which is justified. With evidence, والبراهين والحجج. But to say to another scholar, فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بِصَاحِبِ الْعِلْمِ فَإِنَّهُ جَاهِلٌ غَبِي سَفِي foolish, idiotic, has no understanding. That is قِلَّةُ الْعِلْمِ A lack of respect. A lack of respect for a person who's far excelled you in age. No one is saying don't differ with him. No one will ever say that. But to speak openly, young YouTubers who come on YouTube and have the audacity, you know, we differ with hundreds of people inside our lives. وَلَكِنْ لَمْ نَتْرُكْ أَيِّ إِحْتَرَامِ أَيِّ أَحَدٍ Person should never leave any respect for another individual. But to come and to blog and to make videos and to speak about another individual, to be loose upon your tongue. Upon Masail, if you study these affairs in great detail, voting inside Islam is min bab al-ijtihad. Is a form of ijtihad that many scholars have debated over centuries. And وَحَتَّى لَجْنَةَ الدَّائِمَةَ have also concluded that in a country where people decide to vote to get certain rights, these are senior ulama, senior clerics. I said, if you're living in your community, you have to vote to do something, then we turn a blind eye to it. Doesn't mean it becomes kufr. So where are these young individuals and people who spent 50, 60 years, 70 years, 80 years of their life? Because it's not just about ilm. It's about farasa. It's about understanding. It's about wisdom. It's about tajriba. It's about placing everything in context. As you find a young individual can be full of so much immense knowledge, but doesn't have the tools to apply it to the people around them. And that's why we should encourage ourselves. We're not turning away from something which is false. Something which is false, a person should highlight that with due right and due respect. And likewise, in conclusion, that the society that we find, the fragmenting of our society, that we find one of the biggest obstacles inside this society is a lack of respect for authority, for elderly individuals, for young individuals. That's why we find that there's no social welfare in a sense. The people are kept in check. Everyone is free to do whatever they want to do. The elderly individuals are not given the due respect and due right is not given to them, or rather they're abandoned. And the young individuals are just left a rebel without a cause that we find. Look at the masses of our youth day in and day out. What has their life become? Not just a few minutes. hours on end that the phone and the media and these platforms become, what does this instill within them? What does it teach them? It teaches them to lose respect for society around you. That it's not cool to show respect towards your parents, to your elderly individuals, to people who are older than you, to take care of them. And likewise, maybe some of us are giving that same message, that it's okay to behave in this manner towards the people around us, and we should all bring ourselves into check. All of us should bring ourselves back into check. He's not from amongst us who doesn't show compassion and mercy towards his young individuals and doesn't give the due diligence and due right and respect to the elderly individuals. May Allah give us all the due tawfiq and ability to respect our young individuals, respect our siblings, respect our children, respect those individuals around us who are younger than us, to listen to their concerns, what they may have, not to shun them and to push them away. And likewise the opposite, to turn towards our elderly individuals and to take care of them, the right that is belong to them.